Well, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio or iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Deezer.
Deezer. I don't even know what Deezer is.
Your podcast is probably on Deezer.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I don't know.
Tune in, Radio Public. There's all sorts of places that the podcast's on. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and we've got a great show tonight. You know, my love life has ups and downs, but probably the biggest down lately was I actually got stood up by a dating coach. I was supposed to be on my podcast last month. It wasn't your fault. I'm kidding.
It was not my fault.
I know.
It kind of was my fault. I'm not very organized.
No, it was your former agent.
Oh, right. Yes, that is what it was. Fine, yes. We'll blame him.
Yeah, the less said about that, the better.
What an asshole. Oh, I didn't know that.
He did seem a little bit like that.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful.
Yes, but I'm glad you're here.
We didn't get to meet. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me back and reaching out afterwards.
No, I have to thank him, the asshole, because otherwise I would have never gotten in touch with you. And you wouldn't be making these weird faces at me. You keep doing.
This is just my face.
Sin, am I wrong?
I don't know what the weird face is.
I'm just smiling.
No, now you're smiling. That's
Because I don't know what's going to be coming.
That's Marnie the Wing Girl.
I've been told I have a weird face, but that's just the way my face looks. So
yes, Marnie the Wing Girl is here in her ACDC t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Looks great.
Thank you.
And I thank you for coming. And thank you for rebooking. And also, one of our, I'm telling you, A++++ guests.
Me?
And you'll find out. You are, I'm sure.
Oh. Okay,
so I've heard you're a really good podcast host. I'll get to that later. But
thank you.
One of our best guests ever. One of the best guests you'll ever have. She's the highlight. Every time she's on, it's a highlight. Last time you cracked a bullwhip.
Yeah.
You've grinded on the show. And yeah,
wait
do you see what you got?
Cake with my feet.
Oh, yeah. You ate cake with your feet.
Yeah, for your anniversary show a couple years ago.
You gagged Melrose Larry Green with a bra. You did all sorts of things to him.
Oh, I shot sparks while we sang the national anthem on 4th of July.
That's right. That's right. That's what you do.
I shot sparks off my tits with the power tools.
Yes, that's
what
she
does. While we sang the national anthem.
That's
that was
amazing.
Awesome. I forgot about that.
But that was with James Brown's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
No. That was awesome.
That's one of our best shows ever. That's a Sin Twisted, a Dark Mark Show regular. That we haven't had on the new show as much as I would like, but you've been busy.
It's been a little while.
We'll
talk
about that. Yeah, because you were on in our second show.
A couple months ago, but
it was January.
Was a while ago.
It was January.
Right? That was just a couple months ago.
You were on with Johnny Indovina with from Human Drama.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you cracked the bullwhip. So,
Well, I usually do your show about twice a year. Usually.
So you're
fitting
it in.
I thought it was a little more, but yeah.
But I've been doing your show for like 4 years.
It's been a while. Yeah.
You did
my show. You actually grinded on me at the CIA and shot sparks on me at my show that I had a couple months ago. Yeah, this is a whole inside stuff. Anyway, we'll get to
it. I'm enjoying it. Keep talking.
So the reason I had Sin on, I wanted Sin on my birthday show to shoot sparks on me, but she was busy. But I was glad that she's on this show because I want you to see the type of woman I'm trying to attract. And we're friends.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Surprise.
But we'll talk about it. Before we get started, because we're sponsored by Audible.
Amazing.
Audibletrial.com/DMS. I'll say that again. Audibletrial.com/DMS. You can get Marnie's book.
You can. It's not my voice for the audiobook, but it is my book, yeah.
What's that?
It's not my voice on the audio version.
No, I know, but it is your book.
It is my book, yes.
And I got to turn this up a little bit. Okay, here we go. Yeah, it's your book. Get Inside Her.
Yeah.
That's what the book is called.
I love it.
Which is very clever.
Thank you.
And you can get that on Audible.
I love innuendos.
You're going to give us a couple little tips and hints and things tonight. But if you want to get really down and into it, 6 hours, 12 minutes of Marnie.
Somebody saying Marnie, giving you advice. Yeah.
And that's going to be great. And then also, Audible's got a new thing. Not only do you get a book, the book of your choice. It doesn't have to be Marnie's, but that's what I would recommend. They have Audible Originals.
Which is what?
That's a new thing now. You get a book, you get 2 of 6 Audible Originals. This month, they have Patti Smith, a spoken word performance.
Oh, interesting.
Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation. He does a whole Audible Original about Mark Twain as a cookbook, celebrating the life of Mark Twain.
Interesting.
Even better, Stephen Fry, the wonderful English comedian, has a whole Audible original about secrets of the Victorian age.
Interesting.
There's six things you can choose from. You get two, you get any book of your choice, and a 30-day free trial to Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. One more sponsor, real quick. Doomy's Home Cooking. Are you a vegan by chance?
No.
Okay. You don't have to be. Doomy's Home Cooking is the best vegan restaurant you've ever been to. They have a Mexican restaurant next door in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
But here's what they have. We were at the Mexican restaurant a couple weeks ago. I had chicken flautas. Chicken flautas. Biggest flautas I've ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been to Doomy's, right?
They're the best ones you've ever had?
Yeah.
And biggest, it's not chicken?
They're not chicken.
It's
they're huge.
Yeah.
They're huge.
It's chicken.
The flautas were this big.
Really?
Yes. They have Philly cheesesteak, pulled pork. The nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos. No, they really are nachos. They just don't have any meat.
Oh, okay.
Of all the nachos in L.A.
But there's no cheese.
No, but it's vegan cheese. It's good.
Vegan cheese.
No, he knows how to do it. No, he knows how. I took my parents there last month.
Dairy, right? For vegan?
No, dairy.
You can't have anything from an animal.
But there's a cheese substance on there that tastes like cheese that's delicious.
Oh, yeah, vegan cheese. You're right. That is different.
I don't know if it's almond milk, cashew milk. I don't know what he does. He's a master. He's a genius. I had a shrimp po' boy. Vegan.
And you liked it? Did your tummy hurt?
I loved it. No, not at all.
Okay, then that's amazing.
1253 Vine Street, Hollywood, California. Now they have a new store in Culver City.
Oh, that's where I live.
Oh, well, let me give you the address
then. What is it?
One second here, because I did not have the address.
Oh.
I had the address written down, but I didn't have it. Let me tell you something else about the new store in Culver City. Thanksgiving. Free Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
Vegan free Thanksgiving dinner on November 22nd.
What is this place called?
It's Doomy's, D-O-O-M-I-E-S.
That's what Doomy's is?
Yes.
And they're not open yet.
They're going to be open.
But they have had a sign there for a year and a half outside.
4140 City Terrace Drive.
It's right down the street from me. I know exactly where it is.
Please let them know I said hi.
I will.
4140 City Terrace Drive on November 22nd. At that location only, Culver City,
they're opening up.
Free vegan Thanksgiving meal.
But they're open now?
I don't know if they're open now. They will be open on the 22nd.
Okay, I will go.
Have a free Thanksgiving dinner on Phil.
Okay.
Who is a genius. And I've had the Thanksgiving vegan meal at Doomy's, and it's terrific.
Okay, wonderful.
I picked up pumpkin pie and pecan pie.
I used to be a vegan at one point.
Really? What changed?
I missed meat.
Oh, so is bacon too much?
Yeah, that's what it was. My body was craving it. My body didn't work well with veganism.
Yeah. Well, this is like vegan junk food. You're liking.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Marnie is, I have to tell you something. Marnie is like the Joker. And I will tell you why.
Okay.
Why I say that. I've read so many different conflicting stories of how you got started as a wing girl.
Really?
Yeah. You grew up in Canada, I know that, because I've listened to your podcast, which is terrific. I listened to the one where you had the hypnotist lady.
She was wonderful, wasn't
she? She was wonderful, but as a host, I could see, because it was a phone interview, and those are challenging.
Yeah.
I could see a couple times that you were really trying to get her to get something out there.
Yeah.
But so you're a terrific host, and it didn't show, but I knew just having been in that situation would happen.
Yeah.
So, but you say oot and about, so you're Canadian. The one story I read in one interview was I used to just hook up my friends all the time. I said, well, why don't I make a living at it? Then a couple of interviews, I heard a story about you were at a mixer at a rabbi's house.
Yeah.
And then
that's the real story.
That's the real story. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you picking up your men?
I've always been helping out my friends. From the age of 14, they were always coming to me for female advice.
Right.
And I would help them, and I would improve their skills. So that's definitely a story, a version of it. It's not how I became a professional wing girl,
right?
But it's how I've always been a wing girl naturally
now
in my life.
And then you put an ad in Craigslist.
Yeah,
I will help you pick up girls or whatever. I don't know
what better way to attract bees than with honey. Sit back and relax. Let me do your dirty work for you. I will be your wing girl.
That was awesome.
And you got $75.
Over 75 guys responded.
Wow. Now, were you aware of the pickup community at the time?
No, I was not. But
really?
I went back to that rabbi's house for another Shabbat dinner. And we were it was me and this girl named Nina, who you actually look a lot like. It's so funny. When you smile and laugh, you have her face. Oh. So I feel like I know you in some way.
Oh, cool.
But so Nina was the person.
Very cute then.
Yeah, very cute. Oh. Nina was the girl who I started my company with, mm-hmm. also one of my best friends.
Okay.
And so one of our clients was looking to meet Jewish girls. So we're like, actually, there's a great place that you should go. It's where we started our company. Mm-hmm. We'll meet at this Jewish singles mixer at a rabbi's house. And randomly, Ross Jeffries happened to be there.
Where is this mixer? Because I like Jewish girls too.
He was there, and Nina and I were talking about our business that we had started, and he slides his card down the table. I totally forgot about this part. He slides his card down the table, and he says, "We have to talk." And after dinner, we ended up talking with him, and he started talking about the pickup artist community.
Oh, speaking of that, here's Nicole Six, my co-host.
Hi.
Didn't know we were doing this at 7. I'm so sorry.
No, that's why when I texted you, we're doing it at 7. No, have a seat. Have a seat. Marnie, if you could...
Yeah, I'll push over.
And be mindful of the camera, please.
Do you want me to sit there?
No, I would like Nicole to sit there. I've got the fireball here for you. Okay. This is Nicole Six.
Hi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
She is a horror writer.
I'm an all sorts of things writer.
Yes. But she has some Fucked Up Shit Ghosts is the latest book that she's put out.
I like it.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you. Well, we're talking about Ross Jeffries, who you had we had on the show.
I know. I want to hear about that.
Okay, now go ahead. Well, let's hear your Ross Jeffries story.
This was so long ago, so I actually forget a lot of it. But he was just talking on and on about the pickup artist community. And you have to meet this person and this person. This person's going to love you. My friend Neil has to meet you. He's writing this book. It's going to be coming out soon. He's definitely going to want to talk to you.
Oh, this is before the game.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know any of these people. But if I'm starting a company, I have to learn about this industry that I'm now part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching and going online. There was kind of limited stuff back then.
Yeah.
And then he introduced me to a ton of people. He was wonderful to me. Mm-hmm. In the very beginning of this process, he introduced me to his family, who is all psychologists and all psychiatrists.
And you studied psychology.
Yes, and they're fantastic people. And I was actually very close friends with his niece for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Not friends with her anymore, just because she's moved somewhere else. But yeah, it was just very interesting, him explaining this world to me. And at that time, I had no idea what he was talking about.
You thought you were going to be the first one to do it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, there's other people like me who are doing this stuff? I didn't know that. And then... one of the people that he told me that I had to meet was David D'Angelo, Evan Pagan, was David D'Angelo's like the biggest person at that point in time because he was the first online marketer to take all of the materials from the pickup artist community and expose it to a greater audience, where he would distribute his programs to millions of people around the world.
And he would do interviews with the pickup artists.
He
and
would have
get
like 3-day seminars, and he would invite tons of speakers to come and present their wares, and then he would package up their programs and then sell them to a ton of people.
Right.
It was like the first summit in that kind of world.
Right.
And I stalked Evan Pagan, that's his real name, because I was told...
David D'Angelo's real name is Evan Pagan?
Evan Pagan. Yes. And so...
Sounds like the other way around.
But his real name is Evan Pagan. He's a fantastic online marketer. He's mm-hmm. considered one of the best. I don't know if he still is, but he was considered one of the best online marketers at that time.
Right.
And I stalked him to try to get him to have us at one of his seminars. I didn't know anything about online marketing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviewed myself and Nina. He had us put together a PowerPoint presentation because he'd never had women just come and talk on their own. It was always men coming to talk to their audience. And we put together a PowerPoint presentation, and he really liked it and invited us to come speak at his seminar. And so we went, and I thought, oh, great, I'll get like 5 more clients from this, not realizing that there was cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to be distributed them all over the world.
Wow.
Right. And then quickly after, I became a very strong leading voice in the pickup artist community, which I don't ever associate myself with being a pickup artist.
That's my next question.
Yeah. Because I always think of pickup artist, maybe not so now, but more so in the past, that they were very insecure people who chose to objectify women and do negative things to get attention when there were other ways to get the same attention, which is what I was teaching them.
But here's the question, though. If that's the case, why did it work?
I'm not saying that it didn't work.
Obviously it worked.
Oh, it worked wonderfully.
Why? Yeah. From a woman's perspective.
Because it was unheard of before. It was triggering people's primal brain. It was a man wearing a unitard and being okay with it. It was men saying lines to them that they had never heard another man say before.
Mm-hmm.
They were all new things at the time. So they were interesting to people.
Right.
And anybody who's saying something new and they own what they're saying, that becomes very intoxicating to women. Now, if you say those exact same lines or any of those routines, women are like, are you fucking kidding me?
I just heard all that before.
From seven other guys 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come
is that
up
true?
With something fresh and
yeah,
new.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I will tell you
because of all the pickup community, honestly, you've probably kept the higher profile of the most. I mean, yeah. I see you on Fox and Friends. I see you're on Loveline. You're on.
Yeah.
I saw you on. You were on Sway Show. You were on.
Oh my God, that's so long ago. Yes, but yes.
Yeah, but you're out and about. I see you. You know, even though I obviously I've been researching you for the podcast, but even before, like I would see you pop up here and there.
Oh yeah.
I don't see Ross Jeffries or Mystery or all these other guys.
Ross Jeffries was definitely doing a lot of media at one point.
No, I'm not saying he's not, but he's not doing Fox and Friends. He's not doing Loveline. He's not doing.
No, I would say I don't know why. There are some people who are just better for mainstream. He's a little creepy.
Right. When
I had him on the show, I wasn't really sure like how. I mean, I guess it obviously works. He's built a whole career off of it, but it was pretty. I mean, you remember we were all sitting at the table, and he tried the lines on all the girls, and it just didn't work.
Well,
on any of us.
here's what happened.
There's a difference when someone's feeding you a line and someone's actually being genuine.
Exactly.
And women can tell that. Even if you are feeding us a line, you're being genuine about it.
Exactly.
We can sense that.
Exactly.
And if you're just feeding us bullshit, we can sense that too.
Well, give credit where he's due. He was the first one that did
He's
this.
The grandfather.
He was doing it in the
80s. Yeah.
I remember,
I wasn't around then, so I can't verify that.
But here's
NLP. Like, no matter what,
he's
extremely intelligent.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
And, well, here's what happened. We went to dinner at Do Me Some Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Nicole and another former co-host, Josie Cat, another strong alternative, punk singer.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm sitting with Josie Cat. Nicole's sitting down. He slides over next to Nicole. As soon as his butt hit the chair, Nicole jumped right up, headed over to the dessert counter.
I did. I'm kind of a bitch. Like, if I can immediately sense your energy and I don't particularly like it, I will just, like...
Remove yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not
always bitchy. Like, last night I was out and people just kept wanting to randomly touch me, which, by the way, just don't go around touching people. Like, if I don't know you, please don't hug me. It's weird. But, like, a whole bunch of strangers are, like, trying to, like, hug me, and it was really uncomfortable.
Where were you?
Now,
out at a bar? It was a very friendly bar.
I thought this is post-Me Too. I thought nobody is supposed to touch each other without signing a consent form.
You don't have to do that, but at least, like, know a person first.
Yes, but I didn't think that they'd be randomly hugging.
And then don't get up pissed off, and I don't want to hug just because I don't know you. But anyway, when he sat down to immediately start hitting on me, which is what he was doing.
I usually tell people I'm a germaphobe, and then they are like, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you just feed them that, and they're just, oh, sorry. I'm
so the opposite. I'm like, touch me, hug me.
I don't, I'm honest.
It's
I'm
not,
like, I'm
it's not me, it's you.
Right, exactly. You're disgusting. I don't want anything to do with
don't
you.
Touch
then,
me.
But then he started hitting on Josie, and she was kind of laughing it off.
She was entertaining. Yeah.
Listen, he works the room, and he typically always finds somebody that's going to.
Well,
that's exactly it. I don't even know if it's a skill as so much as if you just keep trying
it's
to
numbers.
Shoot, you're going to hit something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was in a room, you see the energy here with these two.
These are two very strong women.
Yes, well, this exactly. Multiply this by, there's about five or six. And he ended up actually, I shouldn't say this out of school because this is off the air, but he was on his knees begging my friend Rotten Kitty to go with him to a bris.
It's a strange date.
You remember that?
Wow, right?
Would you
she
like
has
that
a
would mean to see wow. someone's foreskin get cut off?
She has
off.
A boyfriend,
yeah, right?
But she was having fun, like the world's biggest pickup artist. I've got him wrapped around my finger. I'm going to have some fun with him.
Yeah,
that's hysterical.
So that's what happened. And then there were a couple other girls on the show that he kept trying to correspond with afterwards on Facebook, and that didn't work out either.
I don't have a problem with him. He seemed nice. I just have a problem with, why would you do that? Like, why would, I mean, it just means you think women are completely interchangeable and stupid to me. That's how I feel about it.
Well,
that's an interesting perspective because most people don't do it for that reason. It's not about how they're viewing the other individual. But it's not how they're viewing the other individual. It's how they view themselves, that they don't know how to interact with women that they're attracted to any other way. So by giving them a system or a routine.
That's just because he's been doing it for 40 years or whatever.
Well, for him, that's it's
very different. I was going to say, he clearly doesn't have any intentions of settling down, though. That's the thing. Like, if you're, okay, like, I love the movie Hitch, right? Where it's like, I'm socially awkward, so I'm going to read some books or have a more sophisticated gentleman teach me how to do stuff is what, you know, a gentleman would say. But then the goal is still to, like, find a partner with that. It's not to seduce. It's not numbers. It's not a numbers game. Like, I have a very low number count. And every time I go into something, if I'm looking to just hook up, I don't use lines. I'm pretty much, I'm just going to hook up. I don't need to use a line. I'm a girl. But if I'm looking for something more serious, then I am very genuine because you're looking for something serious.
Yeah. Right. But you were saying also that he's not used to being in a room with strong, intelligent women. He's used to picking up on young,
insecure,
and the
impressionable
thing is,
girls who don't know who they are just yet.
That's it.
That, I mean, men don't realize by the time you're over 50 and you're doing those things still, it's a little creepy.
I think most men actually do realize that. But
some men can pull it off really well.
I'm not calling him creepy. None of us were particularly creeped out. He was a guest on the show. Yeah. But like when you're at a bar and the older man starts using the same thoughts.
Well, I will tell you, just as my observation of him, there was a couple times on the show where he like got in this whole rap. And people actually were really like, wow. And it was really interesting. And yeah. He was like, see, I'm interesting. I got everybody in the room. I'm like, you don't have to say that.
I know. Well, listen, I remember there was this one woman that was here from Australia. She was doing this documentary. I totally forget what it was about. It was a very long time ago. But we all had to meet at a hotel in Beverly Hills, whoever was going to be in the documentary. And I didn't know who else was going to be there. But right. Ross Jeffries happened to be the person before me who was being interviewed. And I found myself mesmerized by the things that he was saying. And this was
very smart. Yeah.
He's very smart. I was 6 years into doing what I was doing. I have a psychology degree. I know all of these things. I wasn't like 40 years old, but I was older than I was when I first started my business. Mm-hmm. And I felt very confident in myself. So it wasn't like he was manipulating me in any way. He was just saying very intelligent thing that made actual sense. Yeah. Everything he teaches is based in NLP, psychology. Mm-hmm. It's tangible.
Again, it's just
information.
Like, but if you repeat the same lines to multiple people, then it's like, that's when it gets ingenuine. Like, I don't like when people, and this is the same thing, like, I have girls who will, like, sleep with the whole band or something, because men are just I don't like anybody who just views people as completely interchangeable. Each person is unique to me. I like to get to know them.
Yeah.
I like to spend time with the person.
Objects, but that's your preference. Disposable.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
exactly.
Oh, okay, well, I've got one out of you, throw you away and on to the next thing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're definitely not disposable, son, that's for sure. There's nobody quite like you. Now, last time we heard from you, we heard about the whole Dubai trip. You went to Mexico City for Halloween. Is that not true?
It was awesome. It was about a few days, about a week before Halloween. But yeah, I went down there. This is my third year in a row going down there to perform with Cirque Le Sueur. And that's the same group that booked me for Dubai 3.5 years ago when I had a 3-month contract working for the circus out there.
Oh, okay. And so what kind of show did you do in Mexico?
They had me do a contortion act, a grinder act, and blood spitting.
Wait. There's always something new. Blood spitting?
I've been spitting blood for years.
No. Is this like a new thing?
No. I've been spitting blood for a long time, but just like certain...
Is it for distance or is it like...
No, it's a whole messy thing.
Well, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen your vampire clubs and things. Yeah.
Yeah. So, remember the Feast Society.
I took a picture.
Yeah, I was spitting blood then too. Yeah. Usually during stage blood, and red blood, black blood, zombie blood. But yeah, I do like a lot of...
That's awesome.
I've done a lot of horror burlesque and stuff like that. And
you couldn't do this in Dubai, obviously.
In Dubai, no, not really blood spitting or anything like that. No, I don't think they even had stage blood in Dubai.
I don't think women could spit in Dubai, can they?
In Dubai, I was doing contortion, grindcore, twerking, splashing, eating with my feet. Before I had my tongue split, I was putting kebab skewers through my tongue and putting like strawberries and stuff on it and then having one of their little performers come out and eat. I was calling it the sin kebab. So I had people eating like the strawberries off me and my tongue. I would just like twist my tongue around and pull it out and stick it in through this way and slide this way and pull it out and people would just freak out. But yeah, but now I have it. I split it.
Yes, you split the tongue.
I split it and then 3 months after I had it split, I had both sides pierced, but my body rejected it. I kept it in for about 8 months, and I tried everything from like shorter barbells to flat one to flat studs to smaller beads to like surgical steel and titanium, and then plastic mm-hmm. ones. I was like, I spent that much money.
But if you
split
your tongue, what's the point of having?
She just likes piercings.
I wanted to do double kebab skewers.
Oh, okay. So that's the whole thing. That's the whole reason you split your tongue.
No, I split my tongue with a whole different thing. But I wanted to be able to. Exactly. I still want to be able to do it. It's like, well, now I could do two skewers. Ah, that would be awesome. And twist them both different directions and shit. Yeah.
He knows how I feel.
God,
about
I have to have you on my show. I have a million questions.
These are my friends. No, trust me. I was hoping you would book these two. Cool. Yeah. These are my friends.
Yeah.
But, yes. Amazing.
No, you have no idea.
I'm a big fan of body modification and things like that, and the way the body can adjust and adapt and heal to things.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
especially
that's what I was thinking.
I
had the same
split.
Problem. Like, I originally I had multiple piercings on my ear, but I have such a good immune system; they all healed right up. Like, it didn't, didn't stay.
Now, I would imagine that some men would be intimidated trying to approach you.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I have a partner now.
Yes, oh, I know.
But as a general rule, I try to not. Meet people who I hate to say it, I try to not meet people who know who I am,
right?
Because if they know I'm an exotic dancer, mm-hmm. if they know I'm a contortionist,
right,
and if they know I have a split tongue, mm-hmm. I am no longer seen as a human,
right.
I am seen as a novelty fuck.
Really?
I go from just like, oh, well, I want to invest time with you, it's oh, how, what can I say to fucking hit it? You know what I mean? It's just like,
seems like a dream come true to me. I mean, this is...
I mean, yes and no. I mean, for guys, yeah, but for women, it sucks. It's very
objectifying.
No, but
I know you.
I've
known you for years.
I'm a human being, and I want something honest and real, too. And then there are times where I just want to hook up as well. But it's hard when you do what I do for a living, and you are to entertain people, and are seen as like a sex symbol. It is hard for people to take you seriously when it comes to any type of serious relationship because of what you do for a living.
So what are the creepiest guys that hit on you? The ones that have seen you when you're dancing or the ones at the Comic Cons when you're cosplaying? Because you're doing a lot of that now.
Guys are going to hit on you regardless. For me, the creepiest is when I'm fucking dressed in pants and a t-shirt and a hoodie and headphones on and no makeup on the metro at 5 a.m. and someone's following me 3 metro lines over from San Fernando Valley to Long Beach. That's fucking creepy.
Anytime you're walking down the street.
That's a serial killer.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's creepy. And it's just like they're trying to hit on me. And I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with you. And they just keep following you. They don't. Right. They don't know, understand, or they don't know how to comprehend how to say no for an answer.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's the bottom line.
Well, and again, with like...
To me, that's creepy.
I don't
be in a
strangers
bar
in
at work.
Yeah.
If I'm at work, I'm in a safe space. I could always tell the security, hey, that guy's being a fucking creep, kick him out.
Right.
You know, but when I'm out in society on my own, that's when I have to fend for myself.
Right.
Well, and that's a misconception. Like, just because a girl's at a bar doesn't mean we're there to get fucked.
Oh, I'm just saying for me in general because I work in a bar as a,
a
stripper.
So
that's what I'm saying. That's the only time I'm ever in a bar because I work in bars. I hardly ever go to them on my days off.
Right.
So that's why when I'm speaking about that, that's because...
But honestly, as the only man in this room, if guys are going to bars, they're going to get fucked.
That's exactly it. There's a misconception of what the girls are there for. Because usually girls are at a bar because we wanted to dress up, look pretty, and go do shots.
I was saying, so I just...
Is that right,
Mark? If I'm going to a bar...
I'm just listening. So this is very interesting.
Well, also,
I want to have you guys on my podcast.
I go to bars for concerts and stuff like that.
It really depends on what kind of bar you're going to, like bars in.
I've never...
To a bar, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to meet somebody tonight.
No, I only sleep with people I already know. Like, I mean, that's important, like, for safety reasons. Like, STDs are a real thing, and like... it's just I like to feel comfortable with the person, even when it's casual sex. I at least know that person's like a good person, or at least I've known them long enough to think they're a good person. I've been wrong before because sometimes people have a pretty good mask.
So
but
do you meet these guys?
Oh, just in life. Like, I mean, I've never had casual sex with anyone I don't know. Like, I mean, the one time I had casual sex with somebody I barely knew, I did spend like 14 hours talking to them first.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know them pretty well.
So you have to have a connection to somebody first. No matter 100%. If it's going to be long-term or short-term.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so...
But I'm sapiosexual, so...
What is sapiosexual again?
Mental stimulation.
Mental
stimulation. I think we all are.
Yeah.
I know I am. Are you a sapiosexual?
Yes. Mine more is like on a connection level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Like, there's some people you don't have to talk to, but you just can enjoy... But right. I still need that connection. I still need to know you.
Yeah.
I need to.
Yeah. Well, I need some form of, like, yes, mental attraction for sure, but it's also like understanding.
Energy.
Yeah. There we go. That's the word.
Okay. Which is the most frustrating word for a man.
Yes.
Because they don't know what that means.
No.
Or
please explain it.
Some do.
It's all I say is energy. It's hard for me to break it down and define it, but it's like the presence that you have and how I'm taking it in onto myself. I always say to men, women feel you. So they have to feel something good. Mm-hmm. So if you are doubting yourself, if you're insecure, if you're secretly wanting something else, they're going to feel that in some way. It's not going to feel good. They're not going to know what it is. But they're going to want to stay away from it. Exactly like you just said about being on the subway.
And in my case, it actually makes me insecure. And then I kind of sabotage things sometimes because I can sense your distance. And then it makes me be like, how can I close this distance? Which then makes you feel suffocated. And then things get bad because both parties are not feeling what they want. Women want to feel safe and men want to feel like they have their space.
Exactly. Yep. Well, so it's interesting. So
do they?
Most.
If I really like somebody,
I don't know. For me, a huge turn on is be safe.
I understand that. Yeah. But if I'm into you,
You don't give us any space. That's the thing.
I don't want to give you.
Because it meant for the men that I work with, they fear that if they give you space, you're going to find somebody else that you're more attracted to.
That's not really most men in LA. But it'd be wonderful if it became. I want to say no at the same time, though, because it's also kind of bad when someone's like too. Because, like, if you're an independent woman, you still need your space. I guess actually that's exactly it. Yeah. Really strong, independent people. We're busy. We have shit we have to do. We have a life plan. We have we have a vision of where we see ourselves. And even if we really like you, if we meet you and we're not really ready, it's hard for us to let you in. But if we really like you, we still find a way to keep you in our orbit.
But I respect your space, but I definitely want to. If I like you, I want to be with, around you. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with me. And actually, last month I would have been a lot more desperate when you were on because I was not in a good space then.
Okay,
I'm in a better space now. I've seen a lot. I've a little more flirtation. I've a little more positivity, but sometimes I have it. Sometimes I go into a room. This is not only with game, but with women, but with life, with comedy, with podcasts, with anything else. Sometimes I have it. I just walk in. I have it. And then sometimes I don't. How do you keep that consistent? How can you?
Well, you just acknowledge that you're a human being and that's going to happen. And you have to keep pushing through. So, for example, I would say that when I was younger, I never had it. In any room I walked into, I would never have it. I always wanted to have it.
Now, let me ask you another question before you get to that.
Yeah.
And I hate to. There's so much in my mind about Marnie. I've got Marnie on the mind. I've been researching it. Is it true you had a stroke in your early 20s?
Yeah, I had a stroke when I was
Because you were 20. So insecure around beautiful women?
Not around beautiful women, but around people in general.
Really?
But later on, I did discover that I had a major challenge and difficulty with women who were popular or who were very attractive.
And here I put you on a podcast.
I know,
with
seriously. Now I'm like going back into my early 20s.
Don't have a stroke.
Exactly. But my point with what I was saying before is that you first have to acknowledge that you're a human being and you're not going to be on point every single day, and you have to forgive yourself. I know that sounds like hokey and hippy-dippy-ish, but you do. You have to forgive yourself.
Trust me, I'm acknowledged. I'm reminded I'm a human being almost every single day. I could tell you all sorts. I could tell you things that would blow your mind because I know you tell guys, like, what's the worst that can happen? I went to a bar once. I was wearing a red suit. I went up to this girl. I thought she was checking me out. Went up to her, started talking to her. She says, stop. You look so fucking ridiculous. Oh. You look like a fucking asshole.
Wow.
That's at the beginning of the night. That wasn't a good night. I mean,
how did he respond to that?
I held back the tears, laughed, and kind of sulked the rest of the night. I mean, what was I going to do? I felt horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to understand there's shitty people out there, and when you pump up full of alcohol, they become even shittier people.
Yeah.
No.
And it has nothing to do with you. That person is just a fucking asshole because working in the strip club, I get the same fucking thing. I had a guy come up to me, grab me by my tummy, grab my fucking little inch of fucking skin and tell me, you're getting too fat. You need to lose weight.
Oh, asshole.
I poked him in his stomach and I told him, I said, I bet you anything, I'm thinner than your fucking wife.
Oh.
And he shut the fuck up. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. There's certain people who are just going to be fucking assholes and it's just like, oh. You're in my line of fire. I'm going to be a dick to you. Mm-hmm. You're the choice. So it has nothing to do with you.
Right. And I was
that person's just a dick.
That person, she sounds like a bitch, but from the middle standpoint, when I'm being approached at a bar, particularly like if I'm talking to one of my girlfriends, someone comes over and starts hitting on me, I get cold. But first I'm like, you know, I'm here with my friend. We're just having a drink, you know, like take the hint. If they don't take the hint, then I go, I'm really just not interested right now. And then I make sure all my body language is just not even.
But that's
right.
Much more polite than telling somebody.
Of course.
There's no reason to insult a guy for
trying. Right. Not at all. And it's just like you could always still be, oh, I'm flattered for the compliment. Thank you so much. But, you know, I'm actually here with someone and I'm waiting for them, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But, you know, it was great meeting you and you have a good night.
You're trying to paint a picture of the things that do happen.
I've gone up to women and had them say nothing. And just keep talking, and then it's like, okay, after a minute, I'm like, I guess you're not interested, I'll move on. I don't even mind that. And here's the weird thing.
There's just never a reason to insult another person.
Right. Yeah. Here's the weird thing, and you're Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between Canadians and Canadian women and American women?
I've been here for so long, so I don't actually know if there is a difference.
Because every time
anymore,
I've gone to Canada.
Yes, I believe there is. I think we're a little bit kinder.
Every time I've gone to Canada, girls check me out. I do very well in Canada.
Move to Canada.
And I have a line for Canadian
women.
It's
cold. They're like, oh, you can keep me warm in the winter.
Yeah, I've got a line for Canadian women.
What is it?
And I've never had a Canadian woman say, that's not true. There's two things that every Canadian woman loves to do.
What?
They begin with the letter F.
French fries and... what is it?
Fight and fuck.
Really?
And I've never had a Canadian woman say, you know what, come on.
Well, maybe you're more confident up in Canada if those are your opening lines.
Nicole will tell you, gay men find me irresistible.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So, but straight women do not. I'm a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a date. And we actually ended up at an LGBT karaoke night. And five guys hit on me. And as we were leaving, as I was leaving holding hands with the girl, this guy comes up to me and says, I'm not gay, but I got to tell you, you're a really handsome man. Put me in a headlock and wouldn't let go. And the karaoke host had to break it up.
Really?
Yeah. But women.
And that's how women feel all the time.
It's like pulling teeth. It's so difficult.
Yes, we're very challenging. Especially in LA. We're very challenging, especially in Los Angeles. But exactly what you said before about how you responded to that man, if you were to have done something very similar to that woman, she would have looked at you differently. Because
testing me?
It's not as manipulative as you think. When men always say that women test them, they're not consciously thinking, I'm going to fuck with eight guys tonight and say this line. It's not like we're like planning to do this. It's just what you were saying before. You get annoyed after a little bit where you're like, come on, dude, I'm not giving you any sign that I'm interested in me. So you're already built up. You're triggered in some way. And then somebody nice comes up and you're just like, I can unleash on you. I can see that I can unleash and be a horrible person.
This is early in the night.
Okay, let's say she's had her whole day where things have happened to her. She sees you as somebody that she can unleash on where she's not going to get punched back in the face. That's why she does that to you. You do. You have a kind face, and you're somebody who can take that. That's what I would see, and therefore she unleashed on you. But if you were to come back and say some like snarky-ass comment to her, she would be like, oh, who are you? What's going on? Come sit down. That would be
–
I'm not saying that it's a wonderful way to start the conversation. But that is
what
is
happening. Was she nagging me? Is that what happened? Because she was pretty adamant about it.
It's so funny because you're talking about it like it's so premeditated.
But if you were to come back at her as an equal, you would have earned points.
Yeah. Like what we were talking about before when we said the energy that somebody puts out there, right? That's really important to us.
Right.
That's how we think about things. We don't think about things the way that Ross Jeffrey describes things. It's literally how we feel about you.
So how do I have my maximum energy most of the time?
Well, you can do like the Amy Cuddy stance from her famous TED Talk, where you can project some confidence, but really just being armed with some balls.
You want to hear this story?
Snarky back to her. Yes.
You want to hear this story? I heard about that. I had a showcase in Las Vegas, big showcase. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Did the Superman pose?
Well, maybe don't do that in front of her. But
No.
For the people at home, also draws attention to your crotch.
Yes.
No, I did it at home. I didn't do it before. I did it right before.
Oh, you did in the mirror.
I did it in the mirror right before. I'm like, you know, I'm the funniest guy. I'm going to kill it. I visualized everything. I did that. I bombed.
Well, it's not a guarantor for success in comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's just an overall way to get back to a confident spot. I felt
even more nervous than I did before. So I'll try it again. I don't.
Well, I just heard, I was listening to a podcast on the way here, Jim Quick. Do you listen to that podcast?
I don't know.
But, whatever. Okay. But anyway, they had a person talking about tapping on the show.
I heard about that too. My friend was telling me about that.
Like for me, my thing has always been this around my wrist, a rubber band around my wrist. I've had it for 20-ish years.
Right.
And when I get nervous, I snap this and it seems to help me. It gets me to get out of my head and into my body. And that calms me down. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to
That's the original fidget spinner.
Is it?
I guess.
I guess it is. That is for your nerves.
Yes.
Listen, there's a lot of things that you can do and ways to oomph yourself up. Like, it just depends on what audience you're trying to attract. But
it just seems like every time I consciously try to oomph myself up, it has the opposite effect.
Because I still think there's something in here that's not really oomphed up.
Okay.
Because that still is, you don't feel you're good enough. I mean, I feel the same way. And I mean, you know that everybody sees me as fucking amazing. But I see myself still as the person that I was before I worked my ass off to become amazing. And that will always, until I get past that.
But you project it differently. Like
depends who I'm talking to.
Do you want me to be fully honest? Like
yes.
I can still sense that you're unsure of something and you're not 100% comfortable. Like even though this is your domain, like you're not the owner of this space. That's how I feel. That's 100% honesty.
Okay.
You walked in like you did not give a shit about anybody.
I don't give a shit. I like Mark.
Even if you are like every other person insecure in some way, like that does not come across and you're fucking awesome. Whoa. Like you just but because you're like kind and caring to people, you make eye contact, but you still are like, I own my shit. Like I know who I am, and I'm guessing it took you a long time to be okay with that.
Oh,
but now
yeah,
you're like,
sure.
I fucking own it.
Oh yeah.
I was about to say it's the balance between when I'm too sensitive and when I am. Right now I'm going through a thing, so this is part of the defense mechanism, really.
And I can sense that.
That's a thing for a lot
Everybody's
of people.
Everybody's going through
but there's,
a thing.
But there's something something that you're...
But I'm the only one that's showing it.
No excuse to be a bitch.
I think
asshole.
That's why you do this podcast,
but
possibly.
Mercury
you're
retrograde,
probably still
like
curious. But that's why I started my podcast and my business. So initially, when I started my business, I still fucking hated women. I could not be comfortable.
Really?
I had no female friends. I was very uncomfortable around women. I could not keep a female friendship. I did everything that my clients do with women. I did it with women. And through my own teaching to other people, I taught myself to be more open to women.
But here's the thing, even with all my insecurities, these are the women that I have in my life.
Of course.
These are my
you?
Friends. I draw them in and I have connections with women like this who are extraordinary women. Why can't I date women like this?
I don't know. Why can't you?
That's why I'm asking.
Well, I'm asking you.
Maybe because there's certain things that you
don't. Here would be my number one answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, physical looks don't mean anything. They do.
I don't think that's what it is.
I will say, in my opinion, I worked really hard to get to where I'm at. So for me, like you, we don't want to discuss my personal business on the air.
Right.
But you know, even with him, I'm like, if he's not on my level, then I'm just going to have to move on. For me, it's a level thing.
But if I was 100 pounds lighter?
I mean,
you would have to do that for you, Mark. You should never do that for another person.
Listen, the truth is, if you were 100 pounds lighter, maybe that would have an impact on other people, but there's something else.
What would you do with it, though? Would you become an asshole, or would you still be monogamous? That's another thing I always wonder about. Like, I didn't change. Like, I'm still the same person, no matter how I look on the outside.
Well,
my husband is 50 pounds overweight right now.
Was he when you met? Was he when you met him?
He was very chunky. He has huge love handles, and he's not
Canada.
The physique
and
that
I've been with stockier men, not like heavy, but I've been with stockier men, and it really varies.
But you've also been with rock stars.
But you have to have something else.
There's certain things that like you have to have, of course, a little bit of physical attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people that I find physically attractive, and they come over and they just fucking
and
open their mouth, and I'm just like, get the fuck
out
of
here.
Exactly. No matter how hot you are,
if
that's
exactly.
Been
people
exactly.
Who and not only that, there's a lot of things that are factors into it. Like for me, like a huge deal breaker is cigarette smoking.
I don't like it either.
Like I don't care like how compatible you are and how attractive you are. You light up a cigarette, I'm like, all right, deal breaker. I'm asthmatic. That'll kill me.
I'll sleep with you if you smoke cigarettes, but I'm not going
to. I want nothing to do with that. I don't want to smell your third-hand smoke. I don't want anything. No.
Listen,
but there's always
going to
everybody
debate
has.
The fact that attraction is important, and that if you
and I have attractive qualities. Look at these eyes, beautiful.
You do have beautiful eyes. If you are freaking amazing looking, you can do absolutely anything in the very beginning. They did this study on Tinder where a guy with a super hot picture was right. basically his opening line was like, "Want to suck my dick," and like things like that. And women
that would turn me off.
And women engaged him because mm-hmm. they're like, "Okay, you're hot. You're contacting me. I'm going to pay attention for 5 seconds." But then he lost them after that mm-hmm. interaction.
Exactly.
So like. The looks are, yes, one thing. They're a door opener. So's money. That's very attractive. Mm-hmm. But it's not really.
I like
it's not
long term. I don't care about the money.
It's not long term.
But a lot of women,
but let's
it's
say
about
there's somebody then who does say, I don't know what you do for a living. If there is somebody who's saying, I'm extremely successful in this world that you're trying to
you
be in
don't,
as well.
I mean, Mark can tell you, I just have rich men throw themselves at me all day. It's actually irritating as
well. Oh, well, then that's something that you're having constantly happen to you. So your experience is that that doesn't work out for you, which is why you
No, I don't ever take them up on it because I don't give a fuck about money. Like, I mean, I don't want you to be like homeless, but I want you to. I don't care about material.
As a sidebar, I have a friend that he's on Match.com, mm-hmm. and he occasionally will have me rewrite his profile. Not because I'm Casanova, but I'm a better writer than him, and he thinks I can communicate better. He wanted me to rewrite his profile, and honestly, the way the online dating is now, it's all Tinder. It's all swipe left, swipe right on the pictures. I'd like just put some more pictures up. But do you have any suggestions as far as what to do with a profile on online?
I'm not an expert in profile writing. I can tell you if it does hit me and I feel something towards it, and I can tell you if your pictures are good. Because it is more superficial, and mm-hmm. you have to have good pictures up there. Doesn't mean you have to be hot. You have to have good pictures
right.
up there.
There's in some, focus.
Yeah, in focus, like painting a full picture of you and your lifestyle.
Not
of
a picture,
that I could
you,
be
not
a
picture
of
you with your ex cropped out.
Yeah. Face, body.
With the arm wrapped around, no, like.
Oh, yeah, with the face whited out. You don't like that?
I'd rather see a selfie shot than a picture of them with their ex cropped out. It's like, well,
let me ask you a question. If you were going to be advising your friend mm-hmm. on how to attract a woman like you, if you were being completely blunt and honest and really wanted to help him as opposed to being like a really nice friend, mm-hmm. what would you say to him that he has to do?
It depends on like what they're having trouble with in the relationship. I have a lot of male friends, and I do have a lot of guy friends who come to me with like, hey, I'm having problems with da-da-da-da-da, and they'll tell me what their issues are, and I try my best to give them, you know, the best advice I can give from a woman's perspective. I was like, well, you're doing A, B, and C. That's why she's responding this way. Maybe if
what
you change this a little bit.
Who's
yeah,
saying,
please.
I can't
Sin,
get the
me
A,
laid.
B, and C. I can't get the
well,
A, B,
my,
and C.
My thing is you're saying you want like some kick-ass awesome girl like us, but maybe that's not what you need. Do you
that's
understand
who's,
what
that's
I'm
who's attracted
about?
To?
It doesn't matter. Sometimes what you want is not what you need. Does that
I
make
think
sense?
Everybody but. Deserves to get what they want, but you have to look at why do you want it. Like, I can tell you, Mark, it's not your weight. I'm just as scared of you if you're made of muscle and ripped. I just don't like big men. Like,
exactly.
it makes me scared. It has nothing, and if I'm scared of you, I'm not going to
well,
be
attracted
to you.
That's part of what I was saying, is that being a larger man, sometimes...
It's a powerful force, though. It could work in your favor.
Well, I don't know how, because... Well, sometimes I can be intimidating when I'm not trying to be. Mm-hmm. I'm a marshmallow. I'm a sweetheart. I'm a teddy bear. But I understand
it's
I'm a big guy,
presence.
And if I'm coming up to you, sometimes that can be intimidating.
I would believe that. Do you ever push the envelope with some of these women? Do you ever throw out like sexual innuendos? Do you
of course.
Flirt with them? Okay.
Yes, I flirt all the time.
But daddy flirting or like flirting?
What's the difference?
Daddy flirting is like cheesy flirting, like little funny lines that are kind of cute where they're like, uh-huh, that's so nice. And then there's like real flirting that's like
right.
like staring a person in the eye, like knowing that there's sexual thoughts and you're controlling yourself and there's a desire there.
I was on
it's
a date.
Very different.
I was on a date. I was giving her the eyes that I'm giving you right now. And she was into me. Like we were bantering and whatever. She thought I was staring too much. And it didn't work out.
Okay. Well, that's her own preference.
There was a guy.
Because I was really giving her like
thought
the,
was
yeah,
staring
and I was
so
really
much. It was kind of creepy. But at the same time, Mark, I ended up liking that shit. So just because originally it's a little uncomfortable doesn't mean.
I'm just giving you the heart. I mean, I'm just
woman,
giving you.
Woman is different.
My life is weird. I had somebody come up to me and tell me, and this is a.
There's another one coming in.
I know. So how many minutes? Five?
Five more minutes.
I'm sorry. I was. God, it flies by so fast.
Right.
But I was gonna say, she was giving me all the signs. She even said, "When I see you, my heart skips a beat." Mm-hmm. I gave her my number. I asked for her number. Now she works in the movies. She's working on a movie. She said, "Look, real busy for the next couple months. But once I get off, I'm going to call you, and we're going to, and never Nothing. Did. I mean, this was as obvious as it could get.
Did you ever reach out?
I reach out all the time. I still do.
This is just
maybe
what
it was
happens.
The wrong number.
I work with a lot of women, and that's the exact story that I get from so many women.
No, I gave her.
So
no, I gave her my number. Other. Yeah, I gave her my number. No,
but you never know. By the time, she came, she was finally done with her thing. She probably met someone.
Right.
Is probably in a
relationship.
That's
the
wonderful
world
know.
Of Tinder.
Like,
there's a million options in front of you at all times. You get filtered down.
No. My anyway.
I know.
Before we go. Sin, you were going to do some contorting for us?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, but there was something I was going to tell you.
Yes.
And I know it's hard for some people to believe, but I am not every guy's type. I had a guy turn me down months ago who didn't even want to go on a date. He stood me up on the date, canceled 2 hours before the date because of the fact that I like horror movies.
Mm.
Like, people will say no for whatever fucking reason. And don't think that just because I'm a pretty girl with big tits that, like, guys are falling, throwing themselves at me. Because they're not. Like, yes, some guys are attracted to me, but it doesn't mean that every guy or every person wants to fuck me. Right. I am not every person's type. Right. And so when it comes to, like, the dating thing and everything, that's why I was saying I prefer people not to know what I do because it kind of changes the whole perspective.
Yeah. When you start doing this type of stuff.
Well, yeah.
This is a little intimidating for men right here when you do that. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Unbelievable.
I can't even touch my toes.
Let me see. Yeah. Let me see this leg up here a little bit.
Because you haven't done this since the new breasts.
Not on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to relearn this after the breast surgery?
I had to relearn how to do everything again, like pole dancing and just getting my muscle strength and everything back up. And I was actually kind of worried I wasn't going to be able to fit in my suitcase anymore.
Oh, yeah, she fits in a suitcase.
Yeah. Or
big
or through my,
your boobs that
my
they
tennis racket. Oh, I was like a full A. I'm a D now.
And you wouldn't fit in a suitcase because of that?
I was worried I wasn't going to be able to. Oh, because because beforehand, it was like already a lot of space.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all curled up, and I have like maybe maximum 1 minute of air in that suitcase once it's zipped up. So,
Can you fit in the R2D2?
R2D's is not mine, but I haven't fit
you
in that.
You probably still
could. Yeah.
Anyway,
sure.
Where does the time go? I got to tell you, I had so much fun, Marnie.
I had fun, too. I want to dive deeper, but I do know.
I know we only have an hour. Yeah, we only have an hour, and trust me, the couch is in the next room. I don't want to monopolize your time. And I was also going to talk about you help women with men, and
I do a little bit. I can't do it as well on that.
Men
side,
are stuck above
chimp,
really.
But only because I'm not in a man's head, so I can't explain it to a woman.
I'll explain it to you. You want to hear it?
Da, da, da.
And I didn't even ask you about how B2 affects a pickup artist. Okay, if you're in doubt. And you're confused, and you don't know what a man's thinking. He wants to fuck you. That's what he's thinking. So that's men are a step above chimp. Pizza, beer, blowjob. He's gonna marry you. So, Marnie, how do men? Well, this is so much better than the time I did the Superman pose.
I
look at this one's laugh. Marnie, how do we get a hold of you? How do we get your tell us about your podcast and tell us.
My podcast is called the Ask Women podcast, and I want to have all three of you on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like a really interesting, different perspective. The Ask Women podcast is available all the places that you can get this podcast.
Yes.
And maybe other ones that I don't even know of. And then my website is winggirlmethod.com.
Winggirlmethod.com. Mm-hmm. And you, I
tons
think.
Tons of free stuff, free information. Free
no,
videos.
No, and a lot of free stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I think of all the pickup artists, quote unquote, they should come to you because you know the secret language. You know the codes. And the guys, no matter how good they are, they don't think like a woman. They don't menstruate. They don't know any of this stuff. You do.
My favorite saying, anything you can do, I can do bleeding.
True.
I believe in that. And Sin, you are a true feminist. We're very flexible.
Yes.
How do people get a hold of you? And let us know. You got a whole list of things.
Oh, yeah,
that
you're doing. I'm on. I have a page on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram, Sin Twisted. You can find, you'll find me with my logo. It's a picture of my mouth with my tongue sticking out. Tongues, plural, more than one.
Yes.
And then you can also check me out on my website at sintwisted.com. I have merch for sale. I'm also a seamstress, so I do like custom weird little clothing design and shit like that, and I'm available for like modeling, booking, performances.
You're the most interesting person in the world. You realize that? I tell you that every time you come on the show. And please don't make it 10 months again. I want to see you again.
No, we gotta do this soon.
Absolutely. Sure. And I'll bring fireball.
But I'll be doing the show at CIA next December.
We're gonna talk about that. I don't know what's going on. I think you may have double booked. We'll figure it out. Nicole, how do people get a hold of you?
I'm that Nicole Six on Instagram. I'm Nicole Six on Facebook. Make sure it's the right one.
And two X's.
Two X's. And that Nicole Six on Twitter.
And go buy her books, Some Fucked Up Shit Ghosts and Some Fucked Up Shit.
Yes, thank you.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. We got to get out of here. There's another podcast coming in. But this is so much fun.
Thank you.
Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.